Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to Catch Up with Louise McSharry. Happy Wednesday to you, if indeed you are listening on a Wednesday. Today's episode is the entertainment catch-up. I am absolutely delighted. I had such a laugh recording this with Esther this morning. We always go on the wildest tangents. Things always get a little bit silly in the best possible way when I'm recording with Esther, so I think you're really going to enjoy it. Just a little reminder that there is a Patreon episode going up today. Myself and James O'Hagan are going to be discussing Oprah's weight loss injections program. It was a special that aired in the United States recently, and it was interesting. I hunted it down and I watched it, but you won't need to have watched it to enjoy the chat between myself and James. As I said, it'll be live on the Patreon later today. If you want to access that, it's patreon.com/catchupwithlouisemcsharry. Other than that, no major news. I've just been working away this week. Although I realized, I forgot to mention on Monday, I went to see Dune over the weekend. I was perfectly happy to ignore Dune. It wasn't something that was particularly grabbing me, but Gordon convinced me to watch the first one at home. And I could see that, you know, the visuals and the sound and stuff would be amazing in the cinema. So I was like, well, look, if I've seen the first one, I'm going to see the second one. And I'm not just going to go see it. I'm going to go see it in IMAX because I want to really get the benefit of all of it. And it is very good. Now, it's ridiculously long. You know how I feel about long films. I'm not up for it. I'm not into it. I don't want it. I think it's insane. However, I will say that this one, which is just over 2.5 hours, it didn't feel like that long, and I did really enjoy it. So, you know, I wouldn't say like I'll never watch it again, but if they brought out another one, I would definitely go and see it. I think if you're into like, I found the sound in particular really interesting. I guess I'm interested in sound and audio. If you're in any way interested in that kind of stuff in film, it's probably worth a go. And I would definitely recommend that you go and see it in the cinema rather than watching it on your TV at home. Because you do obviously lose some of the detail there. I also went to see Wake, the show, over the weekend. I brought my mom, but it was the last night of it. It was on Saturday, so that's kind of a useless recommendation to you. But if they ever bring it back, highly recommend. You've heard me recommend it multiple times, so I suppose at this stage you know. If you went to see it, I hope you really, really enjoyed it. I heard from loads of you who went and loved it, so I was happy to hear that. But now I think we will just get stuck in, will we, into the celebs. There is some dark stuff at the start. Unfortunately, some of the stories this week are not fun. However, we do get into the fun stuff and we do get silly. So don't worry, stick it out. Esther O'Moore Donoghue, a pleasure to be here in your humble abode. Sorry, it's actually very rude of me to refer to your home as humble. Nothing humble about this. There's diamonds everywhere.
We're sitting on the floor. Louise walked in. She said, oh, what are you painting? She said, ah, yeah, I saw this on Instagram. I started painting the two doors St. Patrick's Day weekend, and they're still unpainted.
Now,
they're mid-paint.
Are they Velux doors? Is that what we call them? Is that the type of door?
No, they're just two patio doors.
Well, I did not know you could paint that surface, and I'm very impressed.
Honey, so you just got to prime.
I'm very impressed.
But as I said to my mom, it's like putting lipstick on a pig because it's like everything else I see, the rest, you just want to change everything then.
But your home is gorgeous.
Yeah, you're right. I'm very comfortably off.
No, but it's a beautiful home.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I came here, I was blown away.
Anyway, here we are on the floor with two camping tables. Let's go.
Couldn't be happier. So we are here to talk about the showbiz and entertainment stories of the week. And unfortunately, we have to start in darkness. Last night, P. Diddy, well, yesterday in his time zone, Sean Combs, P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, Puffy, Diddy, whatever you want to call him, his homes were raided. Now, there have been kind of reports of dark stuff on his side for quite a while now, haven't there?
Yeah, I think actually you pointed me to an article on NPR written by Sidney Mallet and Sheldon Pierce, and it does an extensive timeline from when he started, like his first internship in the 90s. Mm. Like a year after that, there was rumors swirling around him. So he kind of hit the ground running in terms of like this reputation that has preceded him. Mm. So that's like over 3 decades worth of, you know, the persona, the businessman, the bravado, whatever. Mm. Anyway, yeah, so last night, teams of federal agents, including Homeland Security officers, were seen conducting coordinated raids at two homes, one in Miami, one in Los Angeles, as I said. And the reason for the raids is unclear, but it comes on the heels of a lawsuit alleging that the 54-year-old was the leader of a criminal enterprise that could qualify as quote, a widespread and dangerous criminal sex trafficking organization.
Yeah. He's been the subject of several civil lawsuits as well, accusing him of sexual misconduct, including rape and assault. So the stories around him have been really bleak, but it's kind of wild because, like, when I was in Chicago, when I was 14 or 15, so like 1995, 1996, 97, like he was massive. Like, I mean, the biggest star. He was part of this crew. He had Mace, the rapper who he worked with. And like, it was after the Notorious B.I.G. died, and he was kind of like this star maker. Mm-hmm. And he obviously went on to have that, you know, a massive TV show in America called Making the Band, where he selected women to be in this girl band. Danity Kane is the band Kane, that yeah. was formed. Then there was like, you know, you saw him now looking back. I've seen some clips of the show recently. Like, he's really hard on the girls and like rude and stuff. But he was seen as this like star maker, high achiever, like, no, you know, can't sleep, no time for sleep. Like, all I got to do is make money and win. And then it turns out there was all this darkness happening in the background. Like, he's been arrested many times. He's been accused of lots of different terrible things. You know, it's not great.
No, and I think when you watch those things, you kind of think it's so, you're sitting there in your pajamas watching them as entertainment when you're younger, you think, oh, that's just the way showbiz is. He, and it was kind of aggressive or whatever, but you just think that's it. And you kind of consume it as a product. You don't think, oh, there's real people and real women who have had to be subjected, and men who've been subjected to bullying behavior, perhaps on conducted by him. But last year, Cassie Ventura, who was a longtime girlfriend of his, she was signed to a 10-album deal with Bad Boy Entertainment, which is Combs' company, when she was 19. She accused Combs of years of sexual misconduct, harassment, sex trafficking and rape. And, you know, there's another NPR article where it details, you know, times over a long period of time. You know, if you're in an abusive relationship, to extract yourself from that is very difficult. Yeah. And she had, you know, she dated Kid Cudi, which I didn't realise.
Yeah.
There's an allegation that he blew up Kid Cudi's car, you know, which is an extreme form of bullying and control. She filed this lawsuit and they settled, you know, kind of on the court steps before,
pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly. She was seeking $30 million, and of course it was like, he issued a statement, no, this is whatever, x, y, and z.
But like, she was 19 and he was 37 when they met, and then they were together for a long time. Like, that in itself, like, look, there's nothing illegal there, obviously, but it would make you raise your eyebrows. Like, what is a 37-year-old man doing with a 19-year-old girl? Like, it's...
Yeah, there's a huge power imbalance there financially.
Well, exactly.
And access to the entertainment industry, like, yeah, it's crazy. So, and she released, like, Cassie had it all, and it just didn't go anywhere, you know, in a kind of a way. And I don't know if he didn't want that, and so was able to pull the strings and kind of tamper down or whatever. Anyway, look, that's a different issue. But yeah, I mean, you should really go back and have a look at the NPR timeline, because it is crazy. Like, his first arrest was in 1999. He was charged with two felonies, Combs reportedly settled there with the person who...
Lots of settlements.
A lot of settlements, and... It goes on. And like, I mean, and all this time, though, he was still climbing to the top of his career. He signed a deal with Diageo for his Ciroc vodka brand. He started a, you know, Revolut Entertainment. He was making, I think he was certified a billionaire was in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So he's making money. So all this, so I guess he's like seeing that I'm
untouchable.
I'm getting rewarded for all of, you know, my bad boy behavior. Yeah, well, like, put it mildly.
Only last year he got a key to New York.
This is another thing I saw. I was like, has New York Mayor Eric Adams not opened, you know, opened Google?
Yeah.
Tap that in there, baby.
What are you doing giving this man a key to the city of New York?
Yes, yeah, so September 15th receives the key to the city. November 16th, that's when Cassie accused Diddy of the years of sexual misconduct, harassment, etc. So, and she filed a civil suit in the New York Superior Court under the state's Adult Survivors Act, which is a New York law permitting victims of sexual abuse a 1-year window to file civil action regardless of the statute of limitations of the crimes themselves.
Yeah, we talked about this on the podcast when that around that time, because there was a question of like, why all of a sudden are all of these accusations coming out? And it's because New York literally gave people a year. You know, and it's amazing that they did that, because, you know, there's talk of if other states do that, there'll be lots of other charges that come out, because, you know, the statute of limitations on these kinds of crimes, I think, are really cruel, to be honest, because, you know, it can take so long to actually process what's happened to you. It can take so long to feel ready and able to confront them at all, even in as a person in your life, and to get to a point where you're ready to maybe take some legal action. That could take years and years and years.
Absolutely, yeah. And at the time when she settled, when Cassie settled with Combs, she said, I've decided to resolve this matter amicably on terms that I have some level of control. And I think, you know, if you go before the courts, that's the thing. You don't know how what way it's going to go in your favor. And I...
And what kind of accusations is he going to make about her? Yeah. Like, I'm sure he would have all kinds of stories that he'd want to spin about her.
Yeah, and she's been through enough. So anyway, this is the latest development in decades of poor behaviour, it would seem, on his part.
I did see as well someone saying that, like, these kinds of raids, you know, from organizations like the FBI and Homeland Security, don't happen overnight. Like, usually they are the result of years of investigation.
Yeah.
So, well, I don't think they do it lightly.
No, well, you can see that, like, in December of last year, in response to accusations that were leveled at him, and streaming network Hulu scrapped a reality show project featuring Combs that was previously in development. Then in January of this year, Diageo, they had a legal lawsuit. They resolved that and they officially ended their working relationship. So yeah, the writing was on the wall, obviously, for months and months and months. And this is just it being manifest and played out in before the cameras. So
now, he continues to claim, by the way, that none of these accusations are true, and despite the fact that he has settled, etc., that he's going to fight for his name, his family, and it's blah blah blah.
But my house hasn't been raided by Homeland Security, and that's all I'll say. Yeah. So, you know,
same here.
So
unfortunately, we have to stay in darkness for our next story. I thought it was really important to acknowledge this documentary, 4-part documentary that aired in the United States called Quiet on Set, which details sexual abuse on the set of some Nickelodeon television programs at the hands of Dan Schneider, who was a very senior man in children's television for a long time.
Yeah, so Dan Schneider, American television producer, screenwriter, and former actor, he was associated with the Nickelodeon network from 1994 to 2019, so very recently.
Yeah.
And then since 2018, he's faced media coverage and controversy regarding numerous allegations of inappropriate behaviour, as well as other misconduct allegations. And I mean, he was either show running or writing on shows like All That, Kenan and Kel, but he hit the big time when he created the Amanda Bynes show, with Amanda Bynes, and, you know, Drake and Josh, Zoe 101, which featured Jamie Lynn Spears, Ariana Grande. I don't know if it was her break, but she was certainly featured on a Nickelodeon show. So yeah, he's a big player in that world. And I still even looked, he's got nearly 300,000 followers on Instagram.
Like, who is following him?
I don't know. Anyway, so this 4-part docuseries, it details allegations of connection to Schneider. He put up a video on YouTube. I know, it maybe came out afterwards. Anyway, there's a video up on YouTube you can watch where he was interviewed by Tebow, an actor who played Tebow, a character on iCarly. And he says, I watched the documentary and it's, very bad and this X, Y, and Z. And I apologize to people if I mistreated them, etc. But anyway, the Quiet on Set looks at show writers on these Nickelodeon shows, how they were treated, two female writers, how they were treated poorly in the writing room, how they were paid, they had to split a wage between them. It shows footage of sketches that were like targeted at kids. They're just odd. And you know, Dan Schneider said, oh, well, you know, we're looking at, people are have different feelings about watching these with an adult lens and 20 years later or whatever. But it's like, I don't know how you could, I mean, maybe some, oh no, they were weird. The yeah, like are one very
of the,
strange.
One of the people in the documentary says that they seem to take inspiration from porn. Like that's one of the accusations that's leveled at him. Yeah. That like there is like physical comedy stuff that some of the characters, like for example, Ariana Grande as an actor.
Yeah.
I think she played, did she play Cat?
Cat Valentine. Yeah.
And it's funny because my son has been watching Sam and Cat recently, mm-hmm. Which is one of the shows. It was a spin-off of iCarly that starred Ariana Grande and Jeanette McCombs. Is that her name? And she wrote, no.
Jeanette McCurdy.
McCurdy, thank you. Who wrote I'm Glad My Mother Died, which I know lots of people read and listened to, and I did. So, and if you've read that, you know Dan Schneider is the person who she refers to as the creator throughout that book. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, my son has been watching Sam and Cat recently, and now I'm like, oh, maybe you shouldn't watch it. Because it's not overt, but like, you know, yeah, you see it as an adult, but that doesn't make it okay. It's the idea that someone was writing stuff that was, you know, very clearly, like, you know, inspired by adult activity and then getting kids to do it.
Yeah. And I think, I managed to watch, I almost watched the first episode of the Quiet on Set doc yesterday. And I know obviously they're amalgamating things and they're putting it, you know, back to back. So it looks like it was just inappropriate joke after inappropriate joke. But some of them were just so odd. It just, it was rude. And the Ariana Grande stuff is strange. And she hasn't commented on any of this. But yeah, it was odd.
Well, some of the stuff that, like, let's say Jeanette McCurdy said, like in her book, she said he had her drink alcohol underage, said he massaged her in ways that made her feel uncomfortable. He insisted that she wear like small bikinis on the show at 15. And that was one of the repeated allegations in the documentary as well, was that girls were kind of dressed suggestively on purpose, that he insisted on it. And, you know, it's just really, really grim. But I think like the saddest, one of the saddest stories is the story of Drake Bell, who was in the Amanda Show and then also went on to star in Drake and Josh. Like these are shows that me and Esther are slightly too old for, but like I remember them in the ether. I'm pretty sure my sisters watched them and stuff. And if you're a bit younger than us, would you believe there are people younger than us who listen to this podcast, Esther?
Lies.
You guys are probably more familiar with it than we are. But, you know, he was... Drake came out and identified himself as a victim of Brian Peck, who was a dialogue coach. He was convicted in 2004 for child sexual abuse and sentenced to 16 months in prison. He said that he was basically groomed by Brian Peck when he was on the Amanda Show, and it just went completely unnoticed. And this later kind of led to him, you know, getting into all kinds of trouble, you know, as a result of his trauma. And his thing was like, Nickelodeon have done nothing to support me, he says. Like, you know, I'm the one who pays for therapy. I'm the one who sorts this out. But like, Nickelodeon had a responsibility. This is what these stars are saying, you know, to take better care of these kids who were in their TV programs that was making them loads of money. You know, because if you've got someone like Dan Schneider being inappropriate and, you know, borderline abusive is what some of the claims are. And then you've got someone like a dialogue coach who is sexually abusing people there, like, you know, people talk about racial abuse, there's a talk of, you know, just constant disrespect and a total lack of care for these kids. It's horrible.
And I wonder what it's like now on sets. You'd hope that there are more safeguards in place, and I don't know, it is strange, like when you're younger and you look at things, you go, oh yeah, it'd be cool to be in Hollywood and stuff, but it's so strange, and it warps people and everyone wants to be at the party and everyone wants to be in the room and everyone wants to go behind the scenes. But you just can't be an asshole. You know, these are, children.
Children,
you have to go, what, you realize, I mean, they're obviously, they want to be, they're performers and they want to make things and da-da-da. And the results of all that money. Then you're like, you're giving away a lot.
Yeah.
And are people really looking out for them? And people do, even, you know, we've seen in institutions, any form of, any sort of big organization, people let things slide.
Yeah, big time.
And yeah, you can witness things happening in front of you and people just let it slide.
Yeah. I saw actually Frankie Muniz, who was on Malcolm in the Middle, is currently the Australian version of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
I heard that this morning.
And there was a clip of him and he was talking about the way it worked on set. And he said, so there were laws that required them to do school. So they had to do school on set when they were under a certain age. Mm. But they were, and they were, the session, the school sessions were required to be at least 20 minutes long. So what they would do was they would work him, yeah, literally, they would work him for the limit, the maximum amount of hours that he could work. Then he said that they would run, and he meant literally run him to the school trailer. And then someone would sit outside, and then as soon as 20 minutes was up, they'd open the door and say, come on, and run him back to set so that he could work some more. And he said in 12 years, he reckons he had maybe 30 days off. Mm. Like, dog, as a child.
That's crazy, yeah.
It's like, it's wild. I really do hope that all of this chat and these revelations not only mean that there are safer work practices now for kids, and I think that things have improved. There are certain laws around money and stuff. Although, I don't know, did you see that stuff about Honey Boo Boo?
No.
So, Alana Thompson... Thompson, I'm making up these names. I don't know if that's correct. But Alana, Honey Boo Boo from Honey Boo Boo. And they still have a reality show. Now, that family's trajectory was pretty dark. Mama June, the mom in it, became like heavily addicted to drugs. And Alana ended up going and living with her older sister, Pumpkin, who like completely stepped in and has been raising her. But like their older sister or one of their sisters died of cancer. Like a lot of sadness has happened for that family. But Alana and Pumpkin seem remarkably like, you know, together, which is very impressive, you know, given the circumstances. But the latest thing is that June basically spent almost all of the money that Alana had made as a child. So she was at the center of that program. She did like Dancing with the Stars. She did The Masked Singer. She did loads and loads. It should have been, you know, well into the six figures. And it's in their latest, because they're still doing a reality show, obviously, because they have to make money. And Pumpkin kind of forces Alana to confront her mom and ask her about the money, because she's about to go to college and she needs to pay for college. And June gives her a check and it's for $33,000. And she's like, this is it. This is, that's all that's left. Oh, her mother just basically spent all her money. Now, I know that there are rules and laws that to protect them. So what I'm saying is hopefully these kinds of things will lead to A, better protections for kids, but also B, a bit more compassion from the public at large when it comes to people like Amanda Byron, not Amanda Byron, that's a different person.
Yeah.
Amanda Bynes, you know, who has also really struggled. And it's very clear that she struggled, and she's on TikTok if you want to go and see her. But like, you know, who knows what she experienced? Yeah. We don't know.
Who knows? God, it's awful. But I know a friend of mine who is maybe, I don't know, well known or whatever. Anyway, they're an actor basically. But they were like, you know, I think sometimes on set you have to be, if you're number one on the call sheet or whatever. Like I'm saying that, like I know what that really means. But you know what I mean? If you're the big name.
Yeah, the big dog.
The big dog or dogette. That, you know, and she, they were saying like, oh, sometimes, you know, they when there's all that money involved and everyone's a speed, and like, they're like, oh, let's work through lunchtime, let's work through this. But it's like, okay, it's okay for you because you're making a load of money. What about, you know, hair and makeup or production or the person, you know, I was trying to think of something technical, pulling focus, a focus puller or something like that. I don't know. Or like your diamond polisher or whoever on set, you know, is working for you, whatnot. You know, That means they have to work through, and they're not making as much money as you. It's fine for you. You're like going to zip off here and you're going to go in your...
And someone will bring you your lunch and like bring you food.
So they make a point of going, no, let's stop for lunch. And the little things like that. So I know it's not the same. I'm not trying to draw parallels. But I'm saying like the person who's got most parents that you have maybe...
A responsibility.
Yeah, especially if you're working with children, like step in, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
Let Frankie Muniz, you know, drag
Give
through
the kid a break.
Yeah, let him do his long division.
He's probably just getting into his maths and then he's dragged out.
Wait. A quadratic. No. So X equals? He's just on that precipice. What a joyful thing. And he's getting pulled away to pretend to be whatever. Yeah.
It's so bad. Yeah. But I think it's great that he's speaking out and that other people are speaking out. And, you know, hopefully this will lead to improvement.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, The Muse. So Lily Allen has a new podcast with Makita Oliver, who is her lifelong best friend. I personally will hoover up any content.
I thought this was like exactly what you
Oh my gosh. Like anything Lily will give me, I'll hoover up. Do I occasionally find that she drifts into annoying? Yes. But still, I will hoover up literally anything. And her friendship with Makita Oliver is one that I have followed for like decades now.
Yeah.
And they're doing this podcast together. It's very exciting for people like me.
Yeah. I listened to two episodes on like super speed. I was like, trying to get it digested. And yeah, I think there is that comfort level with each other, and they'll call each other out over things. I think yesterday I saw a clip. Jeez Louise.
Holy moly.
Literally, 1 second. Eh?
Oh no, it's Homeland Security. They're coming to get us. Oh God, that's very dark. Sorry. Obviously, we don't think it's funny, the accusations. I think it's a delivery. I'm not going to edit this out because I'm on the edge of my seat waiting to find out what it is that's happened at the door. She's thanking him effusively. What is it, Esther?
It was just fast way with an Adidas top.
An Adidas top.
For running, I'm getting back into jogging.
Oh, good for you.
Thank you.
Happy for
I
you.
Actually, I was thinking about the other day. It's actually shuffling. I shuffle. If running is a 12 and walking is a 1, I'm a 3.
Oh, I love that for you.
But you just keep shuffling for a prolonged period of time, and you're like, oh, my heart's
everybody's
happy.
Everybody shuffling. Do you just listen to that song continually?
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
I do. But I could listen to this Lily Allen McKeedy Oliver podcast. Thank you. Yesterday I saw a clip and they were admitting to each other they both, I think Makita had kissed one of Lily Allen's boyfriends when they were younger.
She was in the house.
Yeah, but then Lily Allen was like, well, I slept with your ex, whatever. So like, okay, you've raised the game a little bit. Anyways, they've got a new podcast called Miss Me. And that's on BBC Science, well, actually, it's everywhere as well. But Lily Lily was interviewed, I think probably in promotion for the podcast.
Yeah.
On the Radio Times podcast, and she said this week that having children ruined her music career.
I love this. I think that
would be a statement. Like, of course, yeah, of course Louise McShary would say her children ruined her career. Is she ever happy? She's always giving it.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what people would say. And I don't think my kids have ruined my career at all. They've made it a lot harder. And do I think I could be doing more if I didn't have kids? Yeah, I could. Because, you know, there's many hours in the day that I don't have available to me because I'm mothering. Now, I wouldn't change it.
Every day I'm mothering. Every day I'm painting. I'm not.
But like, I wouldn't change it. And just like Lily said, she was like, you know, they are my life. She's like, I adore them. But like she said, her parents were pretty absent when she was a kid via her career. And she didn't want to do that to her kids. And she thinks it was the right decision because her kids are pretty well-rounded people and she adores them. But like, this is the thing with parenting. Like, it's okay to admit that, you know, making one choice has a negative impact on the other. Because people say to me all the time, because I do a lot of different stuff, like, oh my God, how do you do it all? And I'm like, badly. I do it badly. I do it all badly. Like, I don't think I'm doing anything in my life to the best of my ability, because you can't. You can't have it all and do everything as well as you'd like to be doing it. It's just not possible.
You can have it all, just not at the same time.
Exactly, babe. Mm-hmm. Like, exactly. So currently, I would say everything suffers a little bit, but I'm doing my best. And I think that that's all anyone can do.
You're raising two kids, having this career. You still pull a stunning outfit together every single time. You're accessorized to the hilt, Louise. So I support you. And I support Lily Allen.
Do you know, I really appreciate that, because I was literally just thinking before I came here that I really need to up my accessories game. And that's not a joke. That's a serious thought I was having.
Put it on a tea towel. Put it on a tea towel.
I was thinking, because I'm trying not to buy as many clothes. And I was like, no, Louise, you don't need any clothes. You just need to up your accessory game. That's a, like, these what? Are real thoughts that happen in my stupid head.
And I said it out loud
as well.
What
is wrong with me?
So, but what is that from? Accessorize. I hope it's not something really dark.
Let's find out. Anyway, there you go. If you want to listen to them.
You listen to the podcast. Yeah, it's like two friends chatting away. Lily's in New York, Makita's in somewhere in London, and they're having a great time. And so, yeah, she says that, and she says lots of other things. She loves her children, but she's like, it's hard to say the very least.
I think it's from a YouTube video.
Or is it? No.
No?
It's someone going, Oh, it's that comedian. I think his name is Peter Cooney.
Hugh Cooney.
Oh, Hugh Cooney.
That's him.
Oh, that's
here.
What it is. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I was like, no, Louise, you're wrong. Oh, that's what. But he goes, accessorize. Yeah.
Accessorize. I love it. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to listen to all of that podcast. Because that's my era, the Indie Sleaze era. People like Lily Allen, Nick Grimshaw, the Geldofs, RIP, like very.
Did
really
you
have, kills me. But all those people from that time are like, I just will never not be fascinated by them.
Did you kind of try and recreate like the Lily Allen dress with the runners?
1,000,000%. Are you joking me? And then a friend I had at the time was annoyed because we were dressing too similarly. But I was like, but you're also copying Lily Allen.
So
we're all just copying Lily Allen. Like, this is not an original thing that we're doing.
My look was like, my friend, she would just come out, and she came out to me once. I used to wear like jeans, two belts. These, I can only call them winkle pickers. These what boots, they were just like, that's, they were like, I was like Dick Turpin or something. It had been stolen. They had buckles all over them. And we went, and I had this like, you know,
oh no, I know, I know exactly what they were, like the Stella McCartney boots.
Yeah,
but
they were slouch. Mine were slouchy. I know the ones you're thinking about.
Yes. I'm with you.
Have like
Jack
a
and
scarf
the Beanstalk,
hanging
yeah.
off it. Like, I have a Gwen Stefani lamb bag. Thank you.
What was that
America? Oh, the sports sack.
Oh yeah,
I got the collab.
You were on it.
And I remember going, we were going out somewhere, and she was in her Ford Kia, and she called into the house, and she just went, hee hee. She's like, you look like Michael Jackson. What? And I was like, shut up. This is my look. And her thing was like those boots and like tiered skirts and big oversized cardigans. And like, I'm Will-O-The-Wisp. And I was like, hee hee. And you were Lily Allen in your boot runners stomping around.
For 5 minutes. And then I moved on to, you know, something whatever else. The next person
anyway,
I was copying was.
Accessorize. Yes. Now let's talk about the gender pay gap.
Let's! Because Olivia Colman has said that she would be paid more if she was Oliver. And she is correct. I actually, this disparity is wild to me. Like, that it's still so severe.
Yeah, she said in an interview with Christian Amanpour, CNN's well-known reporter. She said, I'm very aware that if I was Oliver Colman, I'd be earning a lot more than I am. I know of one pay disparity, which is a 12,000% difference. Do the maths. She's promoting her new film Wicked Little Letters, which is about the true story of poison pen messages that hit the town of Littlehampton in West Sussex in the 1920s. And there's an Irish actor in this
Jesse
as well.
Jesse Buckley.
Yes.
Yeah, I really want to go see that. I might do a cinema double next week if I can find a day, because I really want to see that, and I really want to see...
Who Minds Your Children? Just kidding.
I just put them in the wardrobe, Esther. I've told you this
before. Yeah.
They're very self-sufficient these days. Throw in a few snacks, a couple of iPads, lock the wardrobe, and they're sorted.
I wish you well. Yeah. You blow them a kiss.
There are lessons you'll only learn if I leave you alone. That's what I say to them.
Exactly. It's good
to
board.
Hashtag parenting.
Thank you. We're joking.
Oh God. That's the beauty of the podcast though. It's the difference between the podcast and Instagram is that I can like make jokes on the podcast and people get it. You know what I mean? Whereas on Instagram,
straight into the DMs.
Yeah. And you just see it like on Tattle. I don't go on Tattle. I have never gone on Tattle, but you just can feel it being like spoken about somewhere in the back of your mind. Anywho, yes, you guys obviously know that I'm joking. I don't put them in the wardrobe. I just lock them in the house.
Put them in a filing cabinet.
Anyway, yeah, I really want to see Wicked Little Letters. I think it sounds really fun. And I love the idea of a movie where women swear a lot.
Yes. Yeah, it's cool to swear. Say the F word. F and P. you're an F and B. Do you hear me?
Esther, don't speak to me like that.
Okay, I'm sorry. In a report on the RTE website yesterday, coincidentally, the gender pay gap among larger Irish firms narrowed slightly last year, according to analysis from PwC PricewaterhouseCoopers Ireland. So there is a requirement now of companies with 250 or more employees. They're obligated to report gender pay gap each year, with 550 firms submitting details for 2023. So it is still an issue in all work fields. I don't know if it's different in entertainment. I mean, obviously, I think there's different metrics they can measure things by. I mean, Louise is going to command a bigger... This may shock you. Louise is going to command a bigger fee if we're asked to open the Super Value on Ballinrobe than if I was... Like, I am 5th on the list. 16th on the list.
Super Value in Ballinrobe, scene of the iconic video where the cow went into the Super Value.
Wow.
Do you not remember this?
No.
Oh, it's very funny.
But obviously it's in there somewhere because I was thinking Ballinrobe, Super Value.
It's a very, very funny video of a cow going into the Super Value. I'll find it. I'll put it in the show notes
cows
so that we can all
yogurts.
Enjoy it together again.
Oh my, that would be weird if a cow was eating yogurt.
Yeah, cannibalism.
Anyway, cannibalism.
Kind of. Actually, it'd be more like, I suppose, drinking your own breast milk, which most people do at some stage.
Okay.
I love our tangents. Anywho, yes, the gender pay gap is real. It continues, even for very wealthy actors and actresses. They're all actors now. And it should not.
No, but then in this the article, it went on to like list the highest paid actors of 2023. Mm. There's three women in that list. Margot Robbie, $59 million. Jennifer Aniston, $42 million. And she had a relatively quiet year and she's still making $42 million, but she got the Friends residuals, you see?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it.
And Adam Sandler was the highest paid actor of 2023, earning $73 million thanks to his Netflix film Murder Mystery 2 and a stand up comedy tour. And I mean, that occupies a very brilliant level of fame. I support Adam Sandler. He seems like a good guy and he's, you know, funny and he's making all these things. And he's like,
yeah,
making loads of money, and you don't know what he's doing.
I feel like he figured it out. He got it right. Like, he started his production company.
Yeah.
He figured out how to play the game and play it well. Did you see the TikTok? Sorry, everything is TikTok. Did you see the videos of him playing basketball with guys in London?
No, but I'm aware he does this.
He was in a community center.
All right!
That's my
Adam Sandler impression.
Very good.
Well, I did a Tom Sandoval impression earlier in Louisa, and it was going good.
Oh, the Tom Sandoval impression was incredible.
Thank you.
The video, the guy who was filming it was like, what's Adam Sandler doing in the ends? Like, he was just in some random local community center playing basketball. What a guy. I love him. Okay, Rebel Wilson. This story I adore. Rebel Wilson, who I don't particularly adore, I have to be honest, wrote a book. And the book is coming out, but she's having a bit of legal trouble because someone is not happy about what's in the book.
She's doing what is known in the business as a Louis Walsh. She is just, she's doing it to drum publicity. She's doing it to speak her truth. Rebel Williamson. Holly Willy Billy Bee. Holly Willy Billy Billy Bee. Holly Willoughby, Rebel Wilson, Australian actor from Australia. She is writing a book. She's named Sacha Baron Cohen, who she worked with on the 2016 film The Brother Grimsby, known as Grimsby in the UK, as a massive asshole. Not to put too fine a point on it. And she's included him in her forthcoming memoir, Rebel Rising. And she has claimed on her social media that the Borat star is attempting to block publication of the book. And she said on her Instagram, I will not be bullied or silenced with high-priced loyal PR crisis managers. The asshole that I'm talking about in one chapter of my book is Rebecca Vardy. Sacha Baron Cohen.
Well, this is the thing that's wild. So I don't think she names him in the book. She just refers to an actor that she worked with as an asshole. But then Sacha Baron Cohen's team got wind of it and started kicking up a stink. And so now
it's the Barbra Streisand.
Exactly, the Barbra Streisand effect. We all know that Sacha Baron Cohen is an asshole. Now, I think a lot of people kind of were feeling that way anyway because he has done some absolutely wild stuff since the events of October 7th and the subsequent, I never know what to call it, invasion? Conflict, whatever you want to call it, what's happening in Palestine. He has done some pretty crazy posting. So I feel like nobody's surprised, and now he's just made sure that everybody knows it. Like, stupid.
Yeah. And I guess she's calling it out, and he asked her to do some wild things. She alleges that Baron Cohen asked her to stick her finger up his bottom in the final scene. And I went, what do you mean, Sasha? That's not in the script. And he's like, look, I'll just pull down my pants and you stick your finger up my butt. It'll be a really funny bit.
No.
I don't think so.
honey. No.
Yeah.
That's so inappropriate.
And she said, you don't want to be a diva, so no. That is a few steps down from being a diva. I will not. Yeah, anyway, look.
So she did it.
Well, that's what she said. She said, I'll slap you once in the butt and that's it.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Boundaries. So, I'm not putting any fingers inside anybody's.
No.
No. Not for any amount. Well, maybe if you paid me.
No.
Actually, no. I would probably stick my finger in someone's bum for a reasonably small amount of money, to be honest.
Okay, and that's where the two roads did not meet. I'm on a different path.
No, I mean, it would still be a lot of money, but it wouldn't be that much. Anywho, like a house deposit. I do it for a house deposit.
Okay.
Just saying. So if anybody wants to get in touch.
Oh my God. I just truly lost it.
Okay, finally. This story, so yesterday when I was looking around for stories, there wasn't really a lot around, and I came across this story about Henry Cavill, who played Superman in some Superman stuff, and has also been in other things, but I just, in my head, he's Superman, and like him making a rare appearance with his girlfriend, and I was like, who is this girl? And I looked in, and I looked in, and I zoomed in, and I was like, oh yeah, how do I know this girl? And then at the very end of the Daily Mail article, they included a photograph of her from My Super Sweet 16, because she was on My Super Sweet 16, and I remember her vividly. Do you remember her, this episode?
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, it's not occupying space in my brain, but I went back and I looked. She definitely is familiar. I recognize her from that whole thing. And then I went back. I said to you,
I'm shocked it's not occupying space in your brain, because it's occupying space in mine.
Because I think they were pushed out by the Tiana Taylor episode. Yes. Because that was the one where she came in the box and she was like the Barbie, and yeah, Pharrell was at her party.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my goodness. Yeah. Wow. That's incredible.
I remember when Tiana Taylor came back as like someone who was having like a career, I was like, yeah, I'm not surprised. She had so much star power in that episode.
She's Pharrell in her corner.
Yeah.
Anyway, Henry Cavill is dating this woman who was on My Super Sweet 16. And when I did a very cursory YouTube search yesterday, an MTV ad came up for My Super Sweet 16. And who was the pretend birthday girl in one of the ads? Jennifer Lawrence. Is that her name?
Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah, she got top. Those people were carrying her on her shoulders and she goes, and she fell over in classic J-Law style. Oh,
very funny.
Yeah.
Well, funny. I remember Natalie because her story was, just for anyone else who remembers these things, this is what my brain is filled with, by the way, this kind of stuff. I have not looked this up, by the way. This is all from memory. She had just moved in with her dad in California. She had been living, or Arizona, anyway, somewhere hot. She had been living in another state with her mom. And so at 15, she just started living with her dad, and she was like, I've never been rich before. Like, she was new to having money, and she, you know, like all of the My Super Sweet 16 girls and boys, was pretty materialistic, like they all were. She wasn't the worst, but like, she was very much, it was kind of unusual to see someone who was openly just like having their first experience of being like the popular girl in school, because she had all the money, she had all the clothes, she had all the everything. Anyway, now she's Henry Cavill's girlfriend. Fair play to her. She's also has her own career and job, by the way. Sorry, that's very
She's the vice president of television at Vertigo Entertainment, and before that she worked for, I think, the production company's Legendary, and worked on Dune and her name? Millie Bobby Brown's whatever thing she makes. Yeah. It worked on those. So
good for you, Natalie.
Yeah, and they're together since 2021. They're posting on her, I didn't look at his Instagram, but they're, you know, I'm so proud of you. There was one I was thinking, would I ever be with someone whose image on the cover of a magazine would bring me to tears? She's like, I am so proud of you, honey. And whatever this, I'm paraphrasing, and she was like, when I saw this cover on the cover the Radio Times or something, I cried or whatever. I was like, wow, that's a powerful effect. But they're in love, and I can't dismiss their love. Love is love. We love love.
I can't imagine that now, to be honest.
So anyway, they're together, and good for them, and they both have great careers, and I'm happy for them, and they play chess.
Me too. I am happy for them.
And the one of the videos that came up for My Super Sweet 16 was the girl, she was like kind of preppy, she wore like the Ralph Lauren, I think that was her school uniform, Ralph Lauren, like Air Techs, and she was giving out feathery fans.
Yes.
She was sassy.
The giving out of
the
invitations.
She was taking the invitations back, and she was giving them to other people. And you give that invitation to Louise, and I didn't want Louise to come. And it was so funny.
Such a crazy show.
I wonder what they think when they look at that. Like, oh my God.
I know. They must be so, all of them must be so embarrassed.
So funny.
Like, you'd have to be.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was great entertainment, and we are not for the exploitation of teenagers. No. So actually, it's bad. Okay, Esther, thank you so much. Where can the people find you, my friend?
You can find me at Esther Two Names, and if you go to the link there, there should be a sign-up form for my newsletter, In Bits by Esther and Morton News. There'll be pop culture, there'll be a podcast, and there'll be bits, like a podcast I used to do called The 80%, and anyway, have a look.
You're bringing it back.
Well, I'm going to bring it back, but I'm kind of re-editing all the intros and stuff. And I listened to the interview that you kindly did. We didn't know each other, and we did that live episode, and it's funny, and it's like I've got all these little audio recordings of the starts of friendships, and it's great. So anyway, I'm going to put that up, and I'm only saying this out loud because I've been talking about it for ages, and I'm like, if I just say it now,
yes,
girl. There'll be a sign up form there and you can sign up.
Love this. Everybody sign up for Esther's In Bits. I love it.
So at Esther Two Names.
Thanks, okay, James. My friend, thank you so much. It has been a joy as always. There you go. That's all from the world of entertainment this week. Thank you so much for being with me. I really, really appreciate you tuning in. Just a little reminder as well, because someone said to me, any chance you do an omnibus because they missed the old format? You can just queue these episodes up one after the other and listen to them all in a row if you are missing the old format. That's still an option. I probably won't be editing them together, but you can 100% listen to them all at the same time. It's no problem. If you're not familiar with it, usually on your podcast app, if you click kind of the little buttons down the bottom, you can pick, add to queue or queue next. And then it will automatically play for you, and it'll be just like nothing's ever changed, except you'll get a little bit of extra me in between each piece. Although actually you probably won't, realistically. It's probably the same, except longer. Anyway, I know most of you guys are saying that you're really enjoying the new format, which I'm delighted about because I think it's working really well. But one or two people missing the old one, but it's you can still do it. Promise. Okay, I'm going to go. Thank you so much to you for listening. Thank you to Acast for having me on the network. And of course, thank you to Esther. I will talk to you on Friday. I have a brilliant interview for you this week. It's already recorded. I know you're going to love it. So do come back on Friday for that.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.